back to WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into football season around here. Still watching the Orioles as they're getting where they are. But the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is getting back out on the road. Restaurant Week is this week all over the state of Maryland. Big reminder there, our friends at Goodwill, our friends at Window Nation, as well as the Maryland Lottery, putting me at Union Brewing this week with the local Oyster. That's happening on Friday. We've also got the Pit Beef Festival coming up in October. I'll be telling everybody about as well. I'm going to get Greg Nivens on the program. So we got things happening around here and sponsorship and old friends. And I have, other than just reading my words in regard to the Ravens situation, I haven't really talked to Luke about it on the air. I haven't talked to Luke much about it off the air, to be really honest with you. We've been busy. I mean, Jets, Dolphins, Patriots, things going on. Bill Cole has been my, you know, if this were a funny Italian movie, you'd be my consigliere in all of this. He has been doing roofing for 103 years now. It's always the same because this year my parents are both born in 1919. I'll be welcoming him back on here to I don't know, dude. You're like me. You're a Ravens fan, right? Like, I even sort of met you through the station, and you've been on bus trips to Indianapolis, and I didn't even really know you then or whatever. It's football season, and I think the team looks good enough. When you go win by a couple touchdowns on the road, there's certainly the enthusiasm that feels appropriate, as does the chill in the air. How are you, brother? Good to have you back aboard, man. Been a while.
Yeah, good to be here. I think that there is something lackluster about the opener against the Jets. Like, at no point was I worried that they were not going to win. Like, the Jets are just kind of like the Jets, and you want that opener. I mean, I'm fine with the opener being sort of like the fourth preseason game, because that's kind of how it felt. But yeah,
no, but it still counts as a real game, though.
It does. No, it's think about playing, you know, the other potential first place team and the first week, and the whole complexion of the season changes when you start 0-1 versus 1-0. And it just so happened that, you know, for other teams, they played like the other good team. I will take a cakewalk week one and start out 1-0 every year. I'll be totally okay with that. Even as a fan, it's kind of boring, and you're kind of like, man, I'm just waiting for us to kind of run it up on them a little bit. So
yeah, I can make a case and say, like, for a guy like Harbaugh or Tomlin or you know, Pete Carroll, whomever, right? Veteran coaches. Pete Carroll's different because he had a different kind of team this year. But if you have a veteran coach and a veteran unit that came back from last year, and that probably means you probably had some success last year if you're returning some continuity as well as consistency with your coaching, right? That not playing a lot in August and blowing the whistle and how we do things and how we prepare and how we travel and how we do all of these things is a lot different in week one than if you're training wheels and you're the new coach or the new quarterback or the new unit or the new coordinator or any of that stuff, to be prepared to literally go when the whistle happens to say, I know what I'm going to get. I don't know that John Harbaugh knew what he was going to get literally. I mean, the McDonald thing's weird because that kid was around here from birth, right? He only ran off to Michigan for a little while. He's really a Raven guy. So, you know, John's bringing his guy back in and reinstalling it. So maybe it's even more familiarity other than some of the players. But the Ravens looked more crisp than other teams in some ways. And the lack of crispness may be that they might not run the ball well. They don't have a great offensive line. They already lost the left tackle. You know, there's some issues, but defensively, I like what I saw. And I thought the Jets flew to the ball too. I mean, these defenses that have been programmed to play faster, defenses play faster in the same way that Luke and I would talk about pitchers throwing faster.
I think there were a couple takeaways that you hope are not just like week one against the crappy Jets, right? I mean, and whatever, again, purple glasses, I'm a homer, so take it for what it's worth. But like, that was the most accurate I think I've seen Lamar on, you know, 20 plus ball yard balls. Like, the long balls he threw were right on the money, like right on the money. And that's not easy to do.
Oh, it's so very easy for me to tweet that's a $232 million throw when he throws one, right? I mean, like, that's very, very obvious that he's underrated, underappreciated, because he ran so much, you think he can't throw. And I've said from the beginning, that was the book on him in Louisville, right? That you would underestimate him.
I also think they got to him and they did work. And whether he did that work with someone in the organization or he went out and did that work on his own, that was better long ball passing. You know, like, you know, the guy can chuck it, right? Like, it's never an arm strength thing. But overthrowing your guy by 15 yards doesn't do you any good. Throwing it out of bounds doesn't do any good. He put them balls on the money. Like, they were on the money. And that's hard to do. So I think you always knew you had the elusiveness and the running. And he's a creative player, so he's got the sidearm flick when he needs, you know, like, you knew you had all that. But if you're going to tell me that he's going to drop dimes 45, 50 yards down the field, that is a big difference than the player I've watched for the last, what is it, two or three years, I guess.
Well, I mean, he's done that. Just maybe not consistently all
correct.
The time.
That's what I mean.
And maybe
right.
He hasn't had the protection to do it. Maybe he hasn't had open receivers. Maybe the scheming for Hollywood wasn't designed for that in certain situations because they were trying to get 15 yards and not 55 yards, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. Sure. That just was a difference. I think sort of – I don't know why people – and I don't maybe they didn't, but – it didn't feel like anybody was excited about the defense, which I don't really understand that. I mean,
I thought Matt Ibike was the best player on the field for long stretches in that way that like a Brandon Williams was really early on when he earned his money. That was I noticed Michael Pierce too.
Right,
sure.
right. And that's a good thing. You know,
Owe played a billion snaps, right? I mean,
right.
Peters never got on the field, right? Dobbins is out doing, the TV shows this week. He hasn't been on the field yet. So, I mean, I don't, Ronnie Stanley's practicing. Good. Okay. Nick Boyle available, you know, compensated, but not a part of it. I don't know. So this is where you're like me, like, was that a preseason game? Was that really what we're getting? And I think in this longer season format, this thing morphs out to be like, it's a slog and it's going to take, you know, Snoop's going to play some snaps this year because that's the way it's going to work, right? I mean, everybody's going to have to participate, much like you have rotation on defense. This offensive line, though, I for me will against better teams. Let's see them go against the Rams with this offensive line, or maybe even against the Bengals as they've been reformed. Steelers without T.J. Watt. I mean, they're big injuries already. Dak Prescott. So for now, the Ravens are a team getting healthier, not less healthy, I think. But I need to see Ronnie Stanley and Peters and Dobb. I mean, I need to see these guys go out and play to really believe that they're going to be participating in week 8.
Did we get any of that information this week? Like, did...
Well, I mean, Peters was running steps in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I missed
game,
it.
Right? So, like there was a notion that he might have gone. Dobbins, I guess he'll play this month is the way I see it. Boyle's a big question mark, and Luke and I discussed that. And Stanley's always going to be a question mark. And playing Patrick McCary left tackle for long stretches is probably not a solution for them. And again, Lamar didn't run the ball a lot the other day, right? So Lamar and Baldinger put up a whole bunch of stuff. If you watch Baldy's breakdowns, Baldinger put up a bunch of stuff about how much Lamar stayed in the pocket and that his game isn't on the ropes anymore. You know, his game may be moving into the pocket because that's where the money's going to be for him throwing these balls.
Yeah, I think so. That was sort of like a code worded joke to like, who's going to ask the tough questions this week? Like,
oh, you want to go there, do you?
No, I'm just saying like I want to know what Dobbins thinks about his return. And I want to know where Stanley is. And I mean, Stanley worries me from the standpoint of like, you know, them big dudes, when they start having problems with their feet and their ankles and their toes. And I mean, those are career killers. We know that. So I worry about him. I don't know. But
well, you see, you worry about him, but I don't know if that the fan base is counting on him. And I don't really know if Eric DaCosta and John are, they weren't counting on him, which is why they brought the other guy in who went down, right? You know, James over there, right? So
it's the guy during the broadcast mentioned that guy gets hurt all the time. So like we thought he
played since
okay
2019, right? Consistently, right? So right. Bill Cole is our guest. He's Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy. They do solar. I've been driving all over the place and seeing solar things and seeing roofing things. And I guess we had some rain this week, so it'll be a boon for business for you. All right. So you know, you wanted to discuss this Ravens credential thing, and I haven't really discussed it on the air. Don's on vacation this week. I guess at some point he'll have at me as well, in some way, some performative way, because I mean, if we really go at it, it probably wouldn't go well. What do you want to know, Bill? What do you want to know?
I don't know that. I mean, part of my question is rooted in this control seeking by the NFL and how much, I don't know, do you feel that this is about you or about the larger mandate of the NFL that
yes
says,
and yes, yeah.
Right.
Yes,
we want to control all of our media. We want to control the local stations. We want to control the local radios. And then really we're going to pull it all back in-house because we're just going to stream our own thing and we want to have our own thing.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of local entities, I always felt like it was more of a community initiative, and that's probably my own naivete in regard to I saw the team come here. I saw the team birthed. I saw the team before it had a fan. I was one of those fans. I was in the middle of all of it on the radio for real when there were only two or three of us for real. The Cal Ripken jog happened 8 weeks before the franchise got here. So, I mean, we're really talking about like we went from no football, Camden Yards opening, strike for baseball,
right.
Back on the field, not feeling so good about baseball, but our team was good and we were funded, right? And then it still sucked. The Orioles sucked in 95. They were terrible.
Right.
And Ripken, and then the team shows up. And then in 96, they're selling against Davey Johnson, Roberto Alomar, Jimmy Key, Scott Erickson, Cal Ripken, Brady Anderson, blah, 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 96, 97, all of that wire to wire. And being birthed into all of this, I have such I think of them as a local entity because I remember Kevin Byrne walking up to me at Hooters after I introduced Vinny Testaverde and sat down with Rob Burnett and Michael Jackson and Scott Garceau, the five of us in a booth at Hooters in April of 1996, when they barely had a name. They might not even have had a name. They have a name. Maybe didn't have a name. I don't think they had a name then. So, yeah. So I'm literally, to take it from that piece of them landing here and meeting Art Modell and Art Modell, young man, hold me accountable. If all you do is praise me, they'll never believe a word you say. You know, to what Chad Steele is, and again, it's been a generation, you know, all the Roy Summerhoffs and the Kevin Burns and the David Modell, all that's gone. I mean, it's a whole new heartbeat. It's a whole new philosophy. Sashi Brown can lay his own, you know, claim to whatever Dick Cass's legacy would be to say, how are you running the team? Eric DaCosta's got big shoes to fill with Ozzie Newsome. And, you know, John's holding on, making $12 million a year, trying to figure it out with a quarterback they can't figure out how to sign, that they better figure out how to win a Super Bowl now, this year, and some way for all of them. And an owner who is distant and unmoved and making $200 million more money off the team than he ever thought possible. There's no way Steve, when he bought the team for $600 million, ever thought he'd be making $200 million a year of appreciation off the team. Like, I don't think he ever dreamed that big, even though he's a dreamer. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he thought I'll sell it for $5 billion one day, but he will. Yeah. And so there's all of that baked into the money side of it. But my experience, Bill, is this. Been doing Super Bowls 28 years. I've done, I started doing combines in probably 01. I'm talking about Indianapolis, 01, 02 in that range. And I did them for you know, I did 15 out of 18 before I quit on it because it became such a bad experience, right? Like they moved the media tables into the back of the back of the convention hall where nobody would ever walk, that, you know, across the street. So like all of a sudden, and then they want you to pay for the table. You know what I mean? And it just becomes like, are you trying to screw us or are you just blind to this? Or is there not like a feedback box or is there not, or are you just trying to screw? So let's start with this. Internationally, the media pays to have any privilege to cover a soccer practice, in the EPL. So the notion that there are people we're paying that we can control, like Mark Viviano with a post-game show, like all of WBAL with whatever their partnership is, that Bobby Trossett could never say a negative word, with every Sarah Ellison who is in their arm of doing a podcast with Marlon Humphrey on their website. So they've become their own television station, right? Their own media entity, their own modern media, and they're good at it. I mean, it's a PR machine, but you're never going to see any criticism there. I mean, they had John Eisenberg as a columnist and they hated him and chased him off. I mean, John Eisenberg, who's like the most dignified down the middle, calls it as he sees it. Reporters, 40 years of dignity and integrity and professionalism and great writer and like a great guy and wisdom and nobody's fool and like all of that. That wasn't good enough for their website. So I don't know what the end game. People ask me what the end game for me is. They should ask what the end game for them is. Throwing people like me out.
Well, that's I guess the follow up is like, so who do you believe the NFL thinks is their customer?
Everyone. Women love it because it's macho. Men love it because it's macho. Cities love it because it's ours. It's local. It's my university. It's my code. It's my coat of arms. It's my church. It's my religion. It's my cult. It's my thing. It's my tribe. It's my people. And then it happens once a week, right? Like I was depressed on Tuesday that there was no football.
Right. I hear that. Everyone that owns a television or everyone, right? Like part of me feels like there's a disconnect. This exists in a lot of different parts of our lives. Like we don't appreciate traditions and history, right? Because that's just old stuff. And we think we know better. So we change things and we build things in a certain direction. And that's what, you know, and that's what we want it to be. You know, go to hell, all that old stuff. Like part of my baseball, enjoying of Major League Baseball was after the game, waiting at the back of Memorial Stadium where the players came out, just waiting to get autographs, you know, till God knows what time, right? And that doesn't exist, right? Like, so there's these pieces that chip away.
That does exist, though.
At that level.
No. I walk out of the Ravens game, unfair. I walk out of there every single week and see kids seeking autographs and players giving them. Now, sometimes they're, you know, it's too much. You know what I mean? Like they come through. I mean, it's a paparazzi, dude. They might as well take my Coon shirt off and lay a red carpet down, right? Literally after games, wins or losses. I walk through that scrum every single week from the way I come up. And you can still wave to Lamar as he comes out to his car. I mean that. Like, so I've seen people do it too much.
Okay.
If you wanted that experience, you could have it. I see people that have it.
Okay.
I mean, it's security laden and you're going to get an elbow in your face and you're going to, I've had the elbow in my face and I have a pass and I'm just trying to walk through, literally. So, and I don't, nothing against that. I want them. I mean, in an era of security craziness, I want it to be secure to some degree. You know what I mean? I don't mind that.
I totally agree.
I sat on the barn stage with Ray Lewis and Rod Woodson feeling like the whole place was going to collapse. So, yes.
I'm with you. I probably was in the room freaking out because there were way too many people. I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, what I believe you represented with the team was this the heartbeat of the fan, you know, like I was at Whiskey Joe's. I marched down whatever Canal Street in New Orleans. Like, I don't know that other teams even have that kind of like connectivity between a community supporting a team. And I think that was really important. I think that's why we've been to two Super Bowls. I think that's why we have a brand. The purple brand is as strong as it is, and why it doesn't matter what defensive players we get, they're going to play better here because we just play good defense here. That's just who we are. So you better pick your game up. So I have a hard time with the concept of being dismissive to what I believe is someone who's been so good for the franchise for so long.
It's very, very clear that Steve Bisciotti doesn't think I've ever done anything for the Ravens. Like, I mean, like literally, and Chad Steele has, through this, it's very, very apparent on a business, community, social, gated community kind of arrogance that's baked into this. Of there's a gate in front and a man that lets us in and out every day. And we fly first class and land and go through the back door and get police escorts to and from. Like, there is a Beatles lifestyle. There is a rock star part of that that's baked into it when you've worked there for 20 years. I've been a part of it. I've flown on their charters. I've seen the Julius Caesar excess of all of it, right? You know?
Sure.
Right?
I get it. But
no, I mean, I don't mind any of that. But there is a point where that becomes its own bubble that is exclusive to any reality. I mean, we've seen this with people that have these hats that say "Make America Great Again," right? And there's a locking off of fact and fiction as to what is really going on. And I don't know, even just basic things like gratitude, kindness, dignity, truth, integrity, and what you can get away with because whoever you are.
Okay, right. So I guess where I'm going there,
they're the Ravens. They can get away with anything they want. I mean, fine, Daniel Snyder can get away with anything he wants. Bob Kraft can get away with anything. Donald Trump can get away with anything he wants. You know, like the on and on and on and on and on. You just get away with it, right?
But aren't they business people? So don't you make decisions?
Not when you're $4.5 billion into this, the business. Shoddy. When you own a roofing company that could collapse tomorrow, or a media company who's traded on nothing but reputation of honesty and integrity and truth, like. That's my brand. My brand is when you put this on and you hear me or see me, I'm not bullshitting you, and I'm not going to allow the guests to either. Period. That's my brand, right? Period. You would say that. You've been listening to me for 30 years, right?
Right, but clearly the Ravens see no value in that position, right? Is that what they're saying?
I don't know what they're saying, dude. I don't think Steve Bisciotti. I know what John Harbaugh and Eric DeCosta have been saying to me privately, but I don't know what they're saying.
That's what I'm trying to unpack, and I'm trying to find other indicators, right? Like other.
There's nobody
things.
In the building that would get together with Chad Steele around a conference room, and he's going to say, "This is my way of getting rid of Nestor. We're going to get rid of him in the seats. We're going to." Threaten his seat in the press box, even though I don't want him in the press box and he's never been in the press box, I'm going to make him sit there. And then when he gets a backache and can't work for 6 months and can't get places, can't get around in pain and physical therapy, we're then going to go back and say, you weren't here enough. You need to be here more often. And then no matter how often he comes, it won't be enough to credential him. And if he misses the Patriots game, he ain't getting a credential in the Tampa game. And he's game to game now after 26. So we're going to let's sanction that. Kevin Byrne, are you off on that? How do you feel about that, Baker? How do you feel about that, Roy? Hey, let's sell that up to Steve. Hey, let's go down to Kevin Rocklitz and see what he thinks about that. Hey, let's get DeCosta and Joe Ortiz in here. They hate Nestor. Let's get John Harbaugh in here. He runs. He makes 12 million. He makes more than any of us. He probably could have any of us canned if he really didn't like us. Let's all talk about this, and let's put the purple bird on doing this, the Ness and Jen. Let's do that. That would never happen.
I don't think
this is any organizational thing.
I don't either. Really don't. I don't think any of that happened. But at the same time, like,
because that would never happen. Because they'd say, stop, be a professional. Give him a credential. You don't like him. Leave him alone. He leaves you alone. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I thought all along would happen when you go above and say, I don't really like how I'm being treated here. Let me talk to your manager.
Right.
And then that person says, I am the manager.
Right. How does it shake out when they acknowledge Luke and he works for you?
I don't know. You have to call a lawyer for that.
You know, but you know what I'm saying?
You're not media,
but Luke is. And
it's gaslighting. It's not supposed to make sense, Bill.
I hear you. But I do work hard to try and understand different sides' grievances and try and figure out if God forbid I was ever given the magic wand and I could just sort of like sort stuff out. Like, there's just so much conflict, human to human, right? Ideology to ideology, whatever, all this stuff that, if people would slow down and listen to each other, you know, like there's more common ground than people want to appreciate right now. So I find myself in conversations oftentimes, like picking at people to try and get to the real stuff so that they can recognize that, you know, I know you're really upset about that right now, but like, you know, that's probably not entirely fair.
Dude, I got half my life invested in this. So writing it or one of the reasons I wrote it was so that people wouldn't ask me questions about how and why. I reported what happened to me at every step to people around me, you know, the conversations. There weren't many conversations, Bill. You know what I mean? Like, really?
There have only been
two or three interactions through all of this. There's not a whole lot of he said, she said to even be had here, to be really honest with you. This has not been a huge back and forth. It's been,
I get it.
The mandates, demands, restrictions, and me saying, are you serious? Like, all I could think about that day with him and Dick Cass is, if there were a camera here right now and my audience were watching the two of you try to shake me down in this fashion, my audience would be appalled. If you ever throw me out of here and I have to report this is so not cool what's going on right now. Yeah, I hope you guys never throw me out, because this is not cool. That's all I could think about in April, as Mark Viviano came up to give Dick Cass a hug and say goodbye. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is, dude. I was treated the way I was treated, on the record, off the record. I have not gone on the radio and made a fuss about this over the last year and a half. I haven't even really made all that much of a fuss with you personally, really much about it, watching it happen, knowing they're going to do what they want. They did what they wanted to do to those cheerleaders down in Washington. They did what they wanted to do with John Gruden. They did what they wanted to do with the Chinese lady working at the massage parlor. They do whatever they want to do. They did what they wanted to do with Ray Rice, which was to send him out there with a cell phone with his wife lying his ass off so he could play football. And some of them had some willful ignorance about what they were willing to see and not willing to see or willing to hear.
And then the Cleveland Browns
players punching their wife in a glass elevator in a casino.
And then the Cleveland Browns make Deshaun Watson like the highest paid quarterback ever, you know? Right.
Okay. Right. And that being said, when does Thursday Night Football come on?
What is wrong with us?
And are we having ranch or are we having blue cheese this week?
Right. I hear you.
Hey, it's getting a little chilly. Maybe a pumpkin stout. Maybe pumpkin night.
I can't get, you know, a 13-page diary from Chad Steele on why this all went the way it went. So I'm seeking.
Well, he should have to answer, but
I'm seeking to like sort it out. You know what I mean? And I can't sort it out. I just can't. It just doesn't. It's just so bizarre. I can't really understand it. So.
I'll just chalk that up to one of life's many mysteries. Yeah. Bill Cole is here. He's Cole Roofing. Enough of me and on to you. Tell me what you're doing, man. Cause it was raining and stuff. Right. And I really have seen more solar and I don't know, maybe it's kind of like seeing lottery machines. When you do business with the lottery, you sort of maybe see things, you look for things a little bit, but I have seen more solar than I did. And I notice it when I'm driving down roads and I wonder, why do they have it? And why don't they have it?
I mean, it's definitely the Inflation Reduction Act, right? That has language in there that does improve the returns on a solar project. So we have seen.
You sound pro Biden. Are you one of those pro Biden guys?
I am pro doing good business no matter who gets elected. Like, that's my
job. Oh, you are fiercely independent. I know that about you.
That's my job. My job is I don't really care who
wins. I guess I'm fiercely independent now, too, that I've been thrown out, right? Like, that's the benefit right. of being fiercely independent.
Like, I don't really care who wins.
But this thing is going to help that industry. I'm kidding, dude. But
absolutely.
I mean, literally.
Oh, yes. No. I mean, now look, there's some weird stuff there that we're still waiting for guidance from the IRS. And, you know, there's some rules about labor and some things they're going to add cost. But I mean, it's good stuff. You know, like it'll be interesting how it shakes out. You know, we're still struggling to get solar panels, but I guess they're on the way, right? Like for a while they weren't even on the way and now they're on the way. I was listening. They're talking about a railroad strike. That's the next thing that is going to play havoc with the marketplace.
It's always something, as my dad would say, right?
It certainly feels that way these days. I don't, you know, the ground is very unstable and, you know, you can't stop very long without figuring out where you're going to jump to next, because wherever you're standing is eroding away. But it is good. Again, it is an investment that people have to look at compared to the other capital investments they would make, right? It has a return, it has an investment, it takes cash, da da da, it has tax credits with it. So for the people who are in a place where they can take some time to evaluate it relative to the other things, then they will at least have put themselves in a position to make an educated decision. And it's not simple, because we've not bought it, you know, six or seven times throughout our life. Like, hey, remember that? I don't know what you bought when you were young and crazy, but you probably bought a car that you not have bought. And you learned a lesson there, and you had a bad monthly payment, and like everything about it was bad, 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 bad.
And you're thinking that 20 grand now, what would be that?
Well, and the
idea, $218,000 condo would that be for me right now, right?
Right. So four transactions later, we are much better at it than we were the first time.
Well, Leonard Raskin's on me all the time about that. So,
but that's the
wayward youth investing right. in humans and paying other people to do jobs I could do myself.
Right. And my reason for, you know, calling attention to that is that that is part of the friction around solar adoption, is that it isn't something that we've all bought four and five times.
Sure.
So the decision maker has to have enough time in their life to really evaluate it. And that's hard. But once they do, then now they understand. And they might not buy the first time, because it might be a better time to buy a widget maker or a truck or an addition on the building. But now they still know, and they're still going to buy electricity, and they're still going to have a roof to put it on, or some ground next to the building to put it on, or a parking lot to cover. And then eventually it gets to the right place to pull the trigger. So, I mean, it's good. We have lots of really good conversations. It certainly continues to ramp up people's curiosity and interest. And
nobody just buys it sight unseen. There's a process that goes in. I understand that, right?
Sure.
And like more than just a pipeline, but an education pipeline that begins, that starts with education, right? Like literally it has to start there. There's no buy right now. There's none of that. And I think that, you know, and from the way you sell it and the way you've even sold it to me, saying it's not for everybody, but it's, you know, it's getting to be for a lot more people every day.
Sure.
And the Inflation Reduction Act makes it even more so.
Yes, correct. Okay. That is true. Well,
then I learned something, Billy. That's what I'll like need to do here. Anything else I need to know about Gold Roofing?
Roofing remains challenged from a supply chain. So it still is something where, again, educating the customer. You used to be able to call me and like, Bill, I need a roof.
Friday.
I want it like right away. And like we would scramble. And in 30 days, we're probably like almost done your job. It is not that anymore. It might not be 13 months like it was for a while. Like that seems to be pulling in. But we have not seen any price contraction. So all the price increases that we've gone through are still holding, and we're still getting new ones. So prices continue to go up. And if the railroad strikes and that kind of chaos comes, then I think maybe we'll see the supply chain and lead times expand again. So if you think you might want a roof next year, probably should start planning for it now. And not so much in the residential. I guess I should always clarify that because you're listeners. But in the residential space, I don't think that's true. But in the commercial space, that's true. So get ahead of your problems, maybe. Be proactive.
Bill Cole here, solving problems at Cole Roofing. My coffee cup is getting empty. I need some more Rofo in my cup, especially after all this Justin Tucker stuff going on. I'm watching all these kicks and stuff. Hey, beat the fish, right? I mean, I go back to squish the fish with the Tony Linhart kick back in the 70s. I mean, I remember when the Dolphins were the original enemy, right? These Jets, Dolphins, Bills, you know, Patriots, these games, this gets the juices flowing of little Nestor back in 1975, waiting for Burt Jones to come sling it to Roger Carr.
You're not that old. No, I'm not, but I'm not worried, but I am entering the weekend cautious. How's that?
Well, the Dolphins think they're good. Right?
I definitely think the Dolphins think they're good.
Yeah. So, and the Ravens definitely think they're good. So, makes the games fun. That's why we can't wait. That's why Thursday night football can't come before Saturday afternoon football. And we bet, and eat, drink. We'll be doing more of that stuff as well. We'll be eating and drinking. We're going to be over at the Union Brewing doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation and our friends, of course, at Goodwill. I had Lisa Rosiniak on last week talking about Halloween being right around the corner as well. And it is restaurant week kicking off on Friday all over the state. Get on out. You're going to see my Crab Cake Tour coming back to life at Baltimore Positive. We had our little web outage last week. Mike Rosenfeld is going to be coming on from Web Connection to discuss our new host and all the stuff that's going on around here. And of course, Luke is in Owings Mills. Luke is still monitoring all things going on with the Orioles as they take off for Toronto. I hope they have their passports. I had a good time in Canada last week. Why shouldn't they? I have some Canadian money. If any of the Orioles people need it, let me know. I ran over a little bit. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Cole Roofing with my pal Bill Cole and BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.